let's get our view from the north. If you insist, he's now back with the Oregonian. On Twitter, use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are things going for you and yours during the craziness of our lives this week here in 2020?
Another solid week for the Fentress fam, although my life is getting really, really busy with these pesky Blazers doing Zoom interviews every darn day. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. The Zoom interviews with the Oregon coaches and players, considering I'm not usually one to go out to a media gaggle, I'm kind of loving. They're doing my job for me. So
they are convenient.
They sure are. And that's where I wanted to start. Crazy to think the preseason starts next week. You know, you wrote about a guy who came to Portland late during the West Finals run 2 years ago, missed most the last year with the torn Achilles. And I had no idea, to be honest, that Rodney Hood has been through some just the ringer, some serious heartbreak. I mean, what has this poor guy been through?
Yeah, we didn't know either until he spoke. You know, he tore his Achilles on December 6th of last year and missed the rest of the season. Of course, that's always tough for an athlete. You know, you miss playing, you miss being with your team, you miss being there, and clearly they missed him, and he was off to an amazing start. I think 49% from three-point range. I mean, that wasn't going to last, but still, he was playing really well. Felt at home with the Blazers, loved being in that organization with those players. And so that was very disheartening for him, and his wife was there for him. Her name is, I think it's pronounced Risha. She played at Duke basketball as well as Rodney Hood. That's where they met. And then, recently her father passed away. He was only 48. Like, I looked it up. His name's Richard. And, man, I looked at the date, 1972. I'm like, whoa. He's really young. He's younger than I am. He passed away about in October. And then prior to that this year, Rodney's nephew, who he used to babysit when he was younger, was shot and killed in Alabama, and something that Rodney described as pretty petty. And his AAU coach, who it sounded like he was pretty close with, also passed away. So these events, which were situations that he said, you know, he hadn't really dealt with much in his life, were very hard on the entire family for obvious reasons, and really put, you know, the basketball aspect of his life into perspective. So he's coming into this season, you know, not even worried about the fact they signed two other forwards, not even worried about the fact that he's not going to start, just happy to be playing basketball again, happy to still be in Portland. He's got a new two-year deal, and he's just ready to do whatever he can do to help the team.
Man, talk about heartbreak. You hit on Zach Collins. You know, there's been a lot of activity, comings and goings. I kind of forgot about him. Looked like his role might expand last season, but he only ended up playing 11 games. You know, it's easy to forget he was once the 10th overall pick in the draft. So it's the last year of his contract. Would I be accurate in saying this is his or get off the pot season in Portland?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's no way around that. You know, last year I asked him, I said, you know, how frustrating was it to lose last year? Because that was the year where you were supposed to basically establish yourself, you know, as the starting power forward for this franchise, and to have it blow up after three games, it had to be very frustrating. He said, just flat out, it sucks, man. You know, and he wanted that to be a great year, a coming out year for him, and it wasn't. And he came back for the bubble and played decently there, but, you know, it was a lost year for him, and now he's going into his fourth year, which means that this summer the team has to make a decision. They can give him a qualifying offer of $7 million, and that keeps him off the free agent market. If he turns it down, he becomes a restricted free agent. But all that's not going to matter, really, until he does something on the court to prove that he's worth either A, being kept, or B, he's going to get interest from other teams. And then the problem, you know, for him is that he suffered that fracture, ankle fracture at the bubble. That's a 4 to 6 month injury, which means he's not going to be back and ready to play until mid to late January. Jeez. The season starting December 22nd, right? So he's going to miss probably, you know, anywhere from, you know, 10 to 15 games. And, well, what did the Blazers do? Well, they went out and got a guy who's a better power forward in Rodney Covington. And they also brought in a small forward in Derrick Jones. Now, it's one thing if they brought in Covington to play the four and went with Hood at the three, and then when Collins comes back, you can slide Covington to the three and put Collins at the four, but they went out and brought in Jones as well. So now when Collins comes back, he's going to have to convince Terry Stotts that the best combination is him and Covington at the forward spot and not Covington and Jones. And then if he doesn't, then Collins has to come off the bench. And then you have to factor in that they brought in Inez Kanter, who can play the four as well and will eat up backup center minutes, which is another position that Collins can play. So it's not stacking up to be a good situation for him. I just see it panning out to where when he comes back, he's going to be a backup. And then, Carmelo Anthony, almost forgot about him too, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if he comes back and is only getting 15 minutes, how is he going to prove his worth? So it's a predicament for him that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Talking with Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian, big news in Lakerland. They extend LeBron. Anthony Davis maxed out. They got Montrezl Harrell now, another scorer, Dennis Schroeder, some size. They re-up some key parts. I mean, is there any reason to think the Clippers, Denver, Portland, or anybody has actually closed the gap much on the champs?
Yeah, they got better.
Yeah.
You know, they just flat out got better, and that's scary. I mean, I really think the only thing that the rest of the league can really hope for would be LeBron breaking down finally. You know, he's approaching 36, right?
Right.
So, you know, that could be really the only hope. If they're healthy going into playoffs, like, I just don't see how anyone really beats them. Which, you know, as a Bulls fan, I don't want him to come anywhere near six. I'm not happy with that. Ridiculous. So I'll be pulling for everyone to try and take them out. But, you know, Denver's going to have some growth. You know, Michael Porter Jr., that guy to me is the biggest wild card in the Western Conference. What he showed in the bubble was scary, right? He was the guy that everyone thought was going to be the number one pick when he came out, but back injuries killed his one and only year, I think it was Missouri. And so if he is that guy as a power forward who can shoot it from anywhere, create his own shot, and rebound to go along with Jokic and Murray, that is a that's like signing a free agent all-star caliber player. So Denver to me could be a threat. Portland clearly made some moves. I just don't think they match up with James and Davis. And then Houston's going to be fascinating with Wall and Harden, but still Harden has never shown he can get it done in a major playoff series against a really good team. So I don't consider them a threat. So yeah, it looks like it's the Lakers championship to win.
Well, that might aggravate some Blazers fans, but it also aggravates Celtics fans, which kind of makes me happy. All right, let's move over to football. So the Beavs knock off the Ducks, and so we don't have to worry about the playoffs, even though I don't know how realistic that was to begin with.
Zero.
But beyond beyond losing that game that way, is it important, you know, to just realize it's a wacky year and you still have everything in front of you? You could win the North, you can play for the Pac-12 title, and get to a major bowl game. So you take a deep breath and you got to focus on those things, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the bottom line is Oregon State's better. I'm not saying they're better than Oregon. They're a better football team.
Oh,
they're getting better under Johnson Smith, right? Jebbia, you know, it's unfortunate he might be out for the season, but he's a nice quarterback. He's smart. He's accurate. You know, I've compared him to, what was the kid from Washington's name? I just lost it.
Browning?
Led them to Browning, yeah. I've compared him to Browning. He's sort of like, you know, a poor man's Joe Montana type in college, you know, that 6'2", 190-pound guy who's going to, you know, use his accuracy to just frustrate you to death, but he's not going to throw a deep downfield. You know, scare you with his arm. He's not going to scare you with his speed. He's just smart and makes plays. And, of course, Jefferson's good. And that offensive line is nice. You know, so they're a better team. And you, as Oregon, lost a boatload of talent, which is what I've been saying for months now when people were talking playoffs and people were mad at the Pac-12 for messing up Oregon's chances to make it. It's like, what are you talking about? You lost 12 NFL guys. You know, like, period. So you're not going to just flip that and turn that into a playoff team. Like, the audacity to think you were better than last year's team was just ridiculous. So you have that working against you. And so that means you lose that much talent. What are you probably? Pretty young. You got an entirely new offensive line. You got a brand new quarterback. You have a ton of new guys in the secondary. You lost Dye, your inspirational and on-field leader for 4 years on that defense. Those are things you just don't snap your fingers and replace, regardless of what the recruiting classes say. So you add all those things up with the wackiness of the preparation, and you're on the road, and it, you know, night game on a Friday, it's Pac-12 after dark, and strange things happen, and they did. And you were in control of that game. You threw a pick. They scored. You couldn't get a first down. You couldn't get a stop in the last few minutes, and you lost. And you can't walk away, you know, freaking out about it. And, you know, people on Twitter, Chris the ball sucks, and
oh,
he needs to go, and
Apollo's
this, and Apollo's that, and Shuck is this, and Shuck is like, what the hell is wrong with some of these people? Not that that's a small minority, you know. I think most Duck fans get it. But, yeah, it's, to me, this whole season is just, like, bonus football. Everyone can come back for an extra year as a senior. Everyone gets an extra year on their eligibility. To me, you're getting 6-7 games to develop your young talent for next year. That's what this season was about. This is like an elongated spring football in the fall, right? And then next year, everyone should be better for it, and you move, and it's not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. But it is for Oregon State. For Oregon State, that's huge, no doubt.
No, I agree. And I thought that, well, if you ask me, all they had to do was punt against Washington State late in that game last year, and they'd have made a bowl, because people also have to remember, Jonathan Smith took over a dumpster fire of a train wreck. couple final thoughts for Aaron Fentress. 2 weeks ago, Demetric Felton of UCLA had a huge day running the ball against the Ducks. You knew they were going to get a big dose of Jamar Jefferson. Maybe the handwriting was on the wall. You mentioned all those losses. But what should the concern level of how the defense has dipped be for Duckland?
Yeah, you know, the first game, there was a red flag, and that was that the two running backs for Stanford averaged 7 yards a carry, right? But you held them to 14 points, but they didn't have their quarterback, right? So there was some red flags there. Like, okay, let's see what happens next. Washington State got loose in the first half. They shut them down the second half, but their quarterback threw for 321. You're like, okay, well, that's kind of interesting. Let's see where that goes, right? Then you get UCLA, and UCLA, wait, you're one of the team in there. Who am I missing?
No, they were 3-0 before last week.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Yes. So UCLA comes in, they put together the passing game and the running game, and boom, it's like it's kind of scary, but the passing game was a little shaky, and then Oregon State finally put it together against you. So you're looking at a situation where you just, like I said earlier, you have a defense that's young in a lot of places, and when I'm actually doing a Jamar Jefferson video breakdown for tomorrow, and so of course I've been watching the Oregon game. And you can see a lot of spots where, you know, you missed a Javon Holland, a guy who plays that slot defender position, who is great in the box against the run. And there's some plays where I thought, like that Jefferson had, where I thought, you know, Holland makes that tackle for, you know, a 7 yard gain instead of it going for 15, 20, or even the long touchdown.
Or 82.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, some plays that maybe Troy Dye makes that guys weren't making. And then the D-line is kind of getting pushed around. You know, they're not that dominant up front. They're not holding their ground. So there's some definite holes. And I know it's shocking if you're a Duck fan because of what Avalos did last year, how great the defense was. But, you know, it's about everything meshing together and everything fitting together. And sometimes when you're young, these things are just taken advantage of by teams that are capable of getting it done. And that's just what's happening. And I, like I said, you know, most of these guys are going to be back next year, and they're going to be better for the experience they're going through now.
Lastly, I got to get an NFL thought, because the Seahawks had that crazy good start, some down-to-the-wire nail-biters. Then they became the walking wounded. All of a sudden, now you got Jamal Adams back healthy. Benson Mayoa is back. The new guy, Carlos Dunlap, is finding his way. So here they are, 8-3 in a row. They play both New York teams and Washington. I mean, it's crazy to think, but right now they're sitting kind of pretty.
Oh, absolutely! They're going to be 11-3 with Frisco and the Rams to go. I'm correct. So yeah, they're in a good spot, and their defense is starting to come around and play a lot better. And it's tough to judge it against some of the bad teams they've played offensively, but their defense is looking better, and they've gotten their run game going. You know, they've moved a little bit away from the let Russ cook. And Pete Carroll's like, after those few games where Russ was turning the ball over left and right and getting hit all over the place and exposing the defense, they've gotten the running game going. Carlos Hyde, Carson's back, sort of becoming more balanced. And that's, I think that's where they need to be. You know, if you're a team that you have the ability to run the ball and impose your will, and then you know you have a quarterback you can go through for four touchdowns, you know, given Sunday, you need that, that's the best situation to be in. So I like where they are heading down the stretch. They're definitely going to make the playoffs. They'll probably win the division given their schedule, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But no, they're being lifted up after that little bit of a tough road for them.
All right, folks, he's Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. I think we've provided the folks with plenty of free information there, so we're going to pull the plug now.
Man, you got me talking Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, Seahawks, my head's spinning.
No, the mere variety and diversity of information is nothing shy of spectacular. Mr. Fentress, have a good one. We'll catch up next week.
All right, take care.